Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krejcik, and again, I will be your host today. Autism Empowerment is pleased to offer this program, Autism Scouting Radio, as part of the Autism Scouting Program. We currently serve scouts on the autism spectrum, as well as the parents, caregivers, and scout leaders, both in the U.S. and around the world. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and our Autism Scouting Program, after this broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org and join us on Facebook and Twitter as well. If you're interested in an upcoming broadcast or listening to any previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, we do have that information available on the website as well. First of all, I'd like to thank again our last guest, Erica Sharon. Really enjoyed talking to her about her journey with her three sons, who've all been thriving and enjoying in the scouting experience. We're now booking guests into the for the show through August and into September, and have lots of unique content, which you'll not be able to find anywhere else as it relates to supporting scouts on the autism spectrum, their parents, caregivers, and, of course, the scout leaders who support the scouts directly. It is our intent to bring personal stories both from the scouts themselves, the parents, in order to promote acceptance for the scouts, enrich the lives of everyone listening, inspire both the scouts to reach for more and keep on the path within the scouting program, and to inspire leaders to help support them as well, and empower by providing concrete tools for both the scouts and their leaders. If you have any interest in sharing your story, please let us know at john@autismempowerment.org, or if you have any suggestions on who we should bring in, you can do that as well. Well, it's great to have scout parents and leaders who have tons and tons of years of experience because they do bring so much value to the program. It's nice and fresh to take a fresh look at the scouting program in all of its pureness by bringing on people that don't have all of that those years of experience as far as working with scouts directly, because it's nice to talk directly to the parents, because that's why we're here and that's what we're here for. Today's guest is Alexander Pila. He's a former Eagle Scout, which is kind of fitting since yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the awarding of the first Eagle Scout in the United States. He's a parent of a Bear Scout who is on the autism spectrum and is thriving in a typical developing pack. Alexander contacted us, and it was such an important message that he really wanted to impart. We wanted to get him on right away. He wanted to talk about inclusion and empowerment. And with that, let me go ahead and bring Alexander on right away. Hi, Alexander.
Hey there, John. I'm glad to be here. I tell everybody I was on your Facebook page, I think your wife's Facebook page, for some time, and whenever there'd be these little events that my son would go to and any little story, I'd post a picture. We were just outside of Washington, D.C., on the Maryland side of the district, and there's all these little field trips to the Lincoln Memorial or wherever. And, you know, I'm always looking at your wife's Facebook page, and I saw that you have the autism radio. And I said, well, let's get on here, and I'll tell a story about young Alex, my son, who, as you said, he'll be going to Bears this September. So.
Well, that's awesome. Now usually what we try to do is ask people, you know, why scouting. I think you probably kind of know why you chose scouting for your son, right?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, as I was a scout growing up, I mean, I wasn't one of the fastest rising scouts. I didn't get my Eagle until I was 17 and a half. But looking back on it, I got a chance to, you know, take full advantage and grow in scouting. And at the time, everybody's telling you, oh, it's great that you're going to be an Eagle Scout, and scouting's the best thing ever. And at the time, you kind of think, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, you get an award and adulation, and that's all well and good. And as an adult, though, you look back on it, and you realize how valuable the whole experience was, if only for the friendships you made and the I guess, what's the fancy word, collegiality, I guess the brotherhood of scouting. And, you know, and the thing is, it's not all about the awards either. You know, just being there and just the idea of you know, you wouldn't say at the time you care for each other, but you really do. You know, you feel like you're there to help each other, and there's a certain respect, and you know, you're there for each other as scouts. So I thought, well, you know, I know the deal. You go where you know, and I know scouts, and I know what kind of benefits it could have for my boy Alex. So that's why I put him in. So.
Well, that's awesome. The old saying is you can't see the forest through the trees. I mean, I guess you don't see the forest until you actually get outside the forest and see what kind of a huge forest it was and what kind of a value you actually got out of it.
Well really, a friend of mine who, you know, his son became, as an adult, you know, I mean, I was, you know, we were friends as adults, let's put it this way, and his son became an Eagle, and this friend of mine owned a company, and the way he said it was that even though he was never an Eagle Scout, he looked at if somebody had a job application or resume with Eagle Scout on it, that told him that person was at a time in his life when he could have been doing any number of other, you know, frivolous things, but he decided to apply himself and do something like become an Eagle Scout. So you know, when you talk to people like that who are business owners, and any number of conversations you have with people over the years, you start to understand what, you know, what scouting is all about. And this is, you know, this is as I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, and I'm not going to say how old I'm going to be this year. But,
right.
But you know, you understand how you see the value of. Of course, and this is all with the wisdom of growing older. You see these things. But I thought my son would need something to do in when he's not in school, something to have him interact with other children, which I guess will eventually get to the point, which I believe is one of the more important things for having an autistic person, you know, learn and grow more so than just a simple schooling environment. So for me, you know, I'm sure there's any number of other, I guess, extracurricular activities you could put your child in, but for me, scouting, you know, has that added bonus to it from experience and just from you know, knowing how they accept the other children.
Right. The values, I think, like I think you hit it on where you have the people interacting with the other kids and the other, you have just that wonderful interaction. Real briefly, can you tell us a little bit about the background behind your son and his diagnosis and whatnot?
Sure.
Have an idea of kind of where you're kind of coming from?
Well, I think my wife and I were, how can I put this? A lot of friends of ours or acquaintances we know whose children ended up being diagnosed with autism, they were kind of in denial, and they kind of dragged their feet getting something done about it, and they were in denial because they felt that somehow it was a reflection on them, and, you know, quite often people will think that it shows that they were at fault for having done something. You know, the old... It's whatever human nature is all about. You know the scenario I'm talking about.
Right.
But I think in our case, you know, we just kind of, you know, we're ready for anything. And I don't have any preconceived notions of what my kid was supposed to be or how he's supposed to act, you know. So when he started, when he got to be 18 months old, he's still not saying anything at all. And, you know, then when he got to the age where, you know, he, at about around that time, around 18 months, he started stacking multicolored blocks, the mega blocks, and started waving them past his eyes and humming, we both looked at each other and said, okay, something's up here. And we basically got right to it. Alex was getting services as early as he possibly could. So I think getting in early and dealing with it early is a very important thing. I mean, if you're the parent of a, you know, newborn or your kid's 1 year old right now and you suspect it might be something, you know, your local county has services or people who could test your child. There's nothing wrong, you know, with finding out. And the thing is, the earlier you find out, the better off you are. And that's, you know, we could talk about that benefit, you know, for hours and hours. But I guess to the end of you know, Alex and his story of to where he got in scouting, he got in early to the program, and he was going to, you know, day long school. He was in school, you know, for full days from the time he was 3 years old. And, you know, it was just one of these things where we just kind of saw what the different options were. And my wife, I got to hand it to her. She did most of the reading. And for up to me, my son probably would be, you know, eating cotton candy all day just watching cartoons.
I can relate to that one.
well, whatever. So I'd be like, what? And my wife was the one doing all the research and everything. So the thing is, you know, we saw what, you know, we wanted to go the natural route. I mean, the last thing we wanted to do was to give him any, you know, psychoactive drugs or anything like that, unless absolutely positively necessary, you know, and that would have to be if he was getting violent and would be hurting himself. So you know, we tend to go more of the natural route with, like, you know, food and vitamins and that type of thing. And so we kind of use nutrition. And then we thought, well, you know, to try to do other things that were, you know, more obvious, less drug-related, we saw, you know, well, let's try to get programs where he's in with other children. And now, at first, in his early years, like when he's 2, 3, 4 years old, he would kind of relate to a few kids in his class, and, you know, we'd take him places. And, you know, the early years, he would be at the playground. He'd be more entertained by the colored swings or anything else than he was with the other kids, you know. But then, by the time he got to kindergarten, you know, it's all a matter of getting traction, I think. I think it's a matter of, you know, when the child's brain is developing, his speech is developing, there's so much in those developing years between one and four, and all of a sudden he, you know, we had him in a school program where he, I think when 4 years old, it was a program in Montgomery County where there were some autistic kids and they would be mixed in with some typical kids. And I thought, okay, well, if Alex was going to end up being one of these children who is still kind of solitary and all that, I don't think scouting would have been the thing. But he started getting a little traction, and you have to imagine, if you will, traction is the word that the more you learn, the more you learn. Does that make sense? I mean, we used to say like autism was kind of like quicksand, and those early years you really had to keep pulling and pulling and pulling until he started, like, until the fire got lit in his head, and just get him out of that quagmire of the autism. Like, imagine, you know, this is for parents who don't have autistic children. I'm sure every autistic parent would understand what I'm saying. But, you know, imagine if all of a sudden at 20 years old, you had somebody wave a magic wand and you were cast upon with all the symptoms of autism. And, you know, you'd had, you know, your sensory issues would kick in, and, you know, you'd have all these weird things going on. But at least you'd think to yourself, oh, man, this is driving me nuts. I got to just, you know, relate to this and just contend with it and just adjust. Well, you know, at 1, 2 years old, it's not a matter of adjusting. You know better. You don't know anything else. You just kind of have to get out of that quicksand of autism. And being in with the other children at this other school when he was 4, we saw that he was learning a little more. He'd mention and talk about some of the other kids, like just mention a few sentences about them. And finally, we got him into a typical kindergarten. And the one thing you notice, I mean, you could sit there all day and show him all the favorite videos, and you as a parent can do whatever you can with all the, you know, his toys and the educational toys and all that. But, you know, I was telling John before we went on the air here, you know, when a kid is dealing with adult, you're teaching him things. When a kid is dealing with other kids, he's picking things up. And there's a qualitative difference there. And the kid, nobody teaches another kid like another kid. You know, we could sit and tell him, oh, you got to do this, got to do that, and try, you know, helping him write and all that. But when he's with another kid, there's these, you know, different things he picks up, like, you know, figures of speech and different nonverbal communications and all these other little things that there's no way that an adult could do that. So I thought, okay, well, it's time for him to go in Cub Scouts. And the Cub Pack had an open house at the park up the road here. And we thought, okay, let's see what's going on. And he, a couple of his kids from his class were there, and he just got into the excitement of it all. So if at first he didn't, if it didn't seem that he would be able to line up and fall in and, you know, be able to stand straight in line, well, the exciting part of the fun and the running around, just the running around, the kids shouting just made him happy, you know, and he would be doing his ear flapping and jumping on the balls of his feet, like, you know, like we all as parents know, you know, and he seemed happy enough with it. And the day I got him, you know, we went to the scout shop, and I got him his Cub uniform. He wore that Cub Scout shirt for the next week, you know. So I mean, so he, you know, he was into that, and you know, and then, well, that's the end of that part, I guess. So I guess
Well, I can totally relate to that, because my youngest, he refuses to wear his Class B shirt, which is kind of like your shirt that you go out, like, on hikes and stuff with. He has to wear his blue shirt, and he's so proud of that. And I totally get that. And the early intervention piece of that, I think, is so right on for anyone out there. The earlier you can get services and therapy and intervention, totally the better. You were relaying to me something that you're reading in the Wolf book, which will then dovetail into what we're going to talk about today, and that's inclusion. So why don't you go ahead and tell us the story about that?
Okay, well, you know, I mean, I made it all the way to Eagle Scout, but you know, when I was a kid, I don't think the Wolf book had the story of Akela. I never knew Akela was part of the Jungle Book, you know, and I think we've all seen the Disney movie and everything, but a part of the requirement now is that the parent has to read the story of Akela to the scout. And my son, you know, he knew about the Jungle Book anyway, because he liked, you know, Mowgli and the Man Cub. And I was reading the story, and it was really, you know, it's almost tear-jerking. You know, you think about, all the times around the campfire and singing all the songs. You look back so fondly on your scouting years, and you think about how here's Mowgli, obviously outcast of outcasts. I mean, he's a human being, and amongst all the other animals, and you know, there can't be more of an oddball, you know, matchup than that.
Right.
And you know, there comes the time when, you know, it's a life and death struggle. I mean, essentially this allegory of Akela and Mowgli. I mean, it's an unwitting allegory that resounds with autism and bringing the Cub Scouts, bringing your autistic son to Cub Scouts. He's Mowgli, and they're deciding what to do. And the wolf pack, you know, the law of the pack says that it has to be unanimous. I mean, this is how the Jungle Book was written. You know, this isn't necessarily the way it is, but the Mowgli's up for appraisal by the rest of the pack, and Akela is judge of the whole scenario, and it has to be a unanimous decision. But then there's still a few people who aren't sure about it. But then you have Baloo and Bagheera, the bear and the panther, who speak up for Mowgli. Say, so in other words, even though there might be some people in this world who might not accept the autistic child, you still have these proponents to stand in for him and get in there for him and speak for him. At the end of it all, Akela said, you know, he's one of us now, take him away and make him, you know, teach him the law of the pack. And, you know, the one line in these ceremonies for, you know, the crossover, it says the senior patroller tells, you know, the next, you know, when they're having the bridge ceremony, they're given the neckerchief of the troop. It shows the world that, quote, you are one of us now. And you think about how heart-wrenching it is when you're a parent, when you all of a sudden discover that your child has autism, and you're thinking, oh, well, oh, God. You know, you're thinking, no, my kid's not going to go to kindergarten. My kid's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be Christmas, Easter. You know what I mean? Like, the world's going to fall apart. Then all of a sudden it comes around. And this is what, you know, this is where it all comes in.
I think we attended a national conference about 2 years ago,
right?
Or 3 years ago, and one of the things that they talked about there was the grief cycle, where, you know, in a typical a death situation or, you know, tragedy, there's closure. You know, you
right.
put the person to rest, and you can then move on. With someone who has any child, not only who has autism, but with any disability, that grief cycle can continue on and on and on, and it can repeat itself just
right.
when you think, oh, is my child ever going to talk? Is my child ever going to get married? Is my child ever going to have grandkids? I mean, there's always these different cycles that continually run through, and I think you kind of hit on that where a little bit. So having...
Well, I never thought of it that way. That's a really good way of looking at it. You know, I guess you could call it a grief cycle of sorts, you know, but... I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it never occurred to me. But the thing is, you know, one day I came into my office here, and my wife was in tears, and I thought, well, I said, what's the matter? It was, and she said, you know, she looked at me and she said, you know, Alex isn't going to go to kindergarten. And I thought,
right.
You know, deep down inside, I thought, you know what, you know, I know this kid. You know, I don't think this is going to be the case. And you know, like his one teacher said, he's got a good work ethic. I mean, you know, his IEP, I guess everybody knows that that's generally individual education plan. His IEP states that, you know, he could try doing his homework, but if he's really frustrated and if he doesn't want to do his homework, let it be. Because you know what, his teacher and even the principal said, during the day he works so hard during school. I mean, he's busting
right.
his brain to get it done. And if he doesn't feel like doing homework when he comes home, well, let it slide. And it's okay, you know. Because
right.
whereas the typical kids, they're not having a hard time in school. Whereas my son, he's having a hard time, but he's getting it done, and he's at grade level with his math above grade level in reading. So there you go.
This time is going way too. We got 10 minutes still, but
sure,
now,
yeah.
Now let's get to the bulk of where actually we. I mean, actually, this has been a wonderful story, and I think it
right.
actually demonstrates a lot of what we're trying to accomplish about acceptance enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment. And talk about, let's move to scouting and how the scouting has shown you that it's an inclusive program for kids and should, you know, be welcomed by parents, you know.
Okay, well, just keep in mind that, you know, you have to be kind of flexible in your mind and your thought, and you have to realize that there might be times you'll run into people who might not be totally understanding, or it might be a case where the situation isn't perhaps the best for your son. Now, when Alex first joined, he joined this one pack, and they were the biggest pack in the area. And the thing is, the meetings were at three different places, and the his den was so huge, the pack meetings were so huge, and he was just overwhelmed with you know, going to these meetings. He liked campus, but, you know, by the time just 2 or 3 months went by, and he would cry whenever it was time to go to the meeting. So we looked at the other pack down the street, and they were a little smaller, and they just had one place where they had meetings, and that for whatever reason, that was okay with him. And the thing is, nothing bad against the first pack, and it wasn't like, you know, oh, you know, they're bad. These are the good guys over here. No, it's just you just got to look for whatever works for you. You know, yeah. And but the thing is that even for how overwhelming it was for that first pack that Alex was, they were all the nicest people. And when you think about it, there were times when some of the normal kids were being really rowdy, and there were times that, and this goes for both of the packs, you know, the other kids were being really rowdy, and Alex knew how to stand in line and listen to the leader much the same way, because he's been, you know, he's an old pro at this, like, stand in line stuff from the time,
right.
Like I said, he started regular school as soon as three. But as far as, you know, the inclusiveness of it goes, I think everybody understands that when they're there, that, you know, we're all wolves in the same pack, you know, speaking in the greater sense. And also, too, I think, I mean, honestly, you know, every kid's an oddball to one degree or another. And I think that, you know, what is normal? I mean, where does it begin? Where does it
exactly
end? I mean, you know, so I think people are pretty understanding. You know, it's a rare occasion where I would know somebody was being really mean or just uncaring or just, you know, rude about any comments about the autistic scouts.
One of the things that we find is that the scouts themselves tend to be very inclusive, meaning
right.
that, you know, and accepting. But what we find is where we have a lot of the disconnect is with the other parents of the other kids or the leaders. Have you seen any of, I mean, because we hear that all the time, well, you know, so-and-so parent is just acting, you know, giving us dirty looks and, you know, can't control your child and whatnot. What about inclusion as far as you as a parent? And because that's
right. Really
important as well.
Well, I think, well, you know, it all depends where you talk to different people. I like I said, we're here in Montgomery County, which is just outside of D.C., and I think it's more of a cosmopolitan, you know, population, and I grew up in a small town, and I, you know, my brother-in-law and sister and my nephews are big in the Scouts up there, and they have a few autistic kids in their thing, so I don't, they have good experiences too with that. But I would say that when you encounter a parent like that, it's just too bad. It's just like
right.
It's the type of thing that if they're giving you dirty looks, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're the ones who have to go home and look at their frowning faces in the mirror, because, I mean, you have to think about, like, you know, if your kid is not acting, quote, normal. I mean, really, I said it this a few minutes ago, what is normal? I mean, what is normal, really? I mean,
right.
and parents of autistic kids, the autistic parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about. At what point do you start to say, oh, my kid goes to church and he stares up at the ceiling, and the other kids aren't staring at the ceiling? Okay, so is lightning going to hit my kid? And what, you know, what's happening? Well, he's looking up at the beautiful, ornate, I mean, you know, the ceiling of our church is beautiful. I mean, that's why he's looking up at the ceiling. Or, you know, you're sitting there, he's rocking, you know, he's doing something with the knives and forks on the table, which, you know, what's he doing? He's making a train with the knives and forks. I mean, oh, kids have never done that before or whatever. And there's times when he's having a meltdown. For whatever reason, you know, it's getting too noisy, or he hasn't had anything to eat, or there's something he wants to play with, but the line is too long. We'll just call him, just duck out. We'll go stand outside for a while. You know, it's not a big deal. Just, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, they're not going to mark this down on your permanent record. I mean, they're not going to stop you from getting Eagle Scout because you stepped out of the auditorium for 2 minutes to take a breather. You know, so that's what you have to remember. And it's, you know, I don't know. I think your first question was how to deal with the other parents,
right.
And I guess, you know, me personally, I'm a bit of an extrovert, and I was kind of a weirdo my whole life anyway, so I kind of, let's put it this way. when I encounter people like that, I kind of ignore them and kind of maybe might, you know, engage them somewhat, because if they're making you nervous, when you do that, you're making them even more nervous. See, I'm not saying being rude to them. I'm not saying, you know, just like snap back on them. But if somebody's, if your kid's doing something weird, just kind of just think of some, you know, mildly comic comment like, oh, yeah, here goes my kid again. I guess, you know, I guess I have to, like, you know, take him home and just take or whatever, you know, just think of some, you know, wise,
right,
wise comment. Just they'll just back down. I mean, what,
well,
are they going to do? They're going to get your kid kicked out of the troop, you know?
I find a lot of times that those parents are the ones with kids that are running around, probably have issues themselves, but just are in denial of some way.
Well, yes, so that's between you and me. Don't tell anybody else on the radio you said that, right?
Right. But it's just sometimes it's not wanting to see what's right in front of them, and
right.
Sometimes it's hard and. With that acceptance, and maybe their kid has, you know, sensory issues too, and or whatnot. But so we have about 3 minutes left.
Sure.
Do you? I'm gonna just give you like the last 3 minutes to kind of do your plug on inclusion, or I'd love to have you back to talk about,
sure,
some other things that we just never even got around to talk about. Coming up in the end of August, we're going to have a lot more time to do this. So, but anyways, go ahead.
Well, the things, what you have to remember is that kids are the best teachers of other kids. If you have a kid that's kind of outgoing and he's got a decent bit of speech, like my son Alex, you'll understand. Well, take him out and get him out with the kids some more. If you have a kid who's kind of quiet and he's kind of a wallflower, well, you know that even though he doesn't look like he's engaged, you know he hears what's going on. You know he understands. Just take a chance on your kid. They'll surprise you. All right, just take a chance, and maybe, you know, he'll make a friend or he'll see something that will make him want to connect, and then little by little he'll get that traction I'm talking about. So even though you might think that your kid is not the type of kid who would be good in an inclusive situation, I would say it might be a little too much to ask for them to send him to an inclusive class in school. Well, there's this thing called Cub Scouts. Try it there, and like I said, if it gets to be too much for him, you can take a two-minute rest outside the auditorium. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
There's my shtick.
A lot of times, you know, those things people don't realize. You can take it. You know, you have a sensory break. Have a somewhere you can just get recharged and refocused, and then come
right
on back. And uh-huh. I think that's a lot of times the issues. I just want to thank you again so much for being on. I want
sure
to congratulate you again with your Eagle Scout. That's an amazing,
thank you,
amazing compliment.
I appreciate it.
Accomplishment. Sorry. And like I say, with it being the 100th year yesterday of the first awarding, it was just so appropriate for you to have you on. I just want to wish you and your son the very best of luck. Bears is wonderful. I was actually, that was the first time I stepped up as a Bear leader. Love the Bear program, and hopefully he'll really enjoy the Weeblos program.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite, is the Weeblos. So. I want to thank you again, and I definitely want to have you back on. We can talk about a whole bunch of other issues, and again, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, John.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Again, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you again, Alexander. That was an amazing story, and we'll be talking to you shortly. Thank you again, and see you soon. Bye.